Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 15 and 18. 15 through 18, I'm sorry. Amen. It's where I want to go to today. And it feels good to feel God. And I report to you that this week we had a great camp meeting in Mississippi that I preached at. And right in the middle of my preaching, the lady, the 18-year-old young lady, that all of a sudden had an episode with her heart, and she couldn't breathe. Her heart rate went up to between 170 to 180 beats per minute. And if you, Brother Weaver, would tell you, that's very dangerous. She couldn't breathe. Everything was happening. And right in the middle of everything. And we prayed, and the Lord intervened. And after that service, we had one receive the Holy Ghost. The next night, this boy was baptized in Jesus' name, and his sister came to see him baptized, and she received the Holy Ghost. And we're so thankful that in a matter of just moments, amen, the power of the Lord fell on him and her. Amen. I laid my hand on him, and I mean, God filled him and her. The next night, the same thing. We watched the power of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto the devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came up newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Right here, he said, they lightly esteemed the rock of the salvation after God blessed them. Then the next thing, it said, you became unmindful of the God that formed you. And how many in this place like M&M's? You know, M&M's is an old candy that, I mean, just it seems like everybody likes M&M's. Today I want to talk to you about M&M's. Normally when we teach young ministers or ministers, we talk to them about their M&Ms, their money, and their morals. But today I want to talk to you about your mindfulness and your meaning. Your M&Ms. Your mindfulness and your meaning. Amen. You may put your Bible down. Let's talk to the Lord this morning that God would open our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the power of your Spirit. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for what you've done for our lives. And God, we ask you today to help us, God, to receive what you have for us this morning in this place. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Your mindfulness and your meaning. This scripture right here that we started out with is a description of the apostasy of Israel from God. And Deuteronomy, Moses is the song of Moses. Moses' song is not one of those songs that you could jive with to a beat, but it's a song of meaning where he talked about how the people of God, after God blessed them, they walked out on God, the one who gave them their life. They forgot the birth that God brought them into the world with. God not only birthed them, but God blessed them with abundance. And they gorged themselves on his blessings, but something happened. They did not value God. It's kind of like our world today. There are people that our government has blessed. You know, I know some of you Texans are supposed to say amen. Many people have been blessed. They'll milk the government and don't appreciate what they got. It is kind of like we were at the Navajo Indian Reservation years ago. And the tribe there, their council and their government will build them a nice brick house. But most Navajos, they live in a hogan. Hogan is a mud hut, a dome structure. And it was crazy. There would be a brand new Chevrolet pickup, four drive, right in front of that Hogan. And right next to him was their brick house that their government had built for them. But the windows would be knocked out of it. And they had the horses living in there. And they lived in the Hogan. Everyone wanted their brick house. Everyone wanted that. But they didn't live in it. They lived in their Hogan and put the horses in it. And we're living a generation where people would line up to get something free. And isn't it crazy that people standing out, they want it. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. They're content if you just feed them and you just bless them. And, oh, they'll fight you. But what's free, and stand in line all day, but what's free but will not work. And it's in a similar pattern. The children of Israel, God blessed them. God fed them, and they grew big and fat. They gorged themselves on the things of life, but they forgot the hand, and they bit the hand that feed them. They forgot the one that blessed them. And they walked out on God. They forsook him. Instead of crowning God with honor of appreciation and giving God that attention, they started fancying other things in life. I mean, they failed. You know, they tell you that the worst neighborhoods is the neighborhoods that everybody supports and pays for, because they don't mind just throwing it on the ground. Their trash, their litter. You go, I mean, I just come to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm sorry. And, I mean, what a horrible, filthy city it is. Not only filthy up in immorality, but filthy that people have taken that beautiful city that was once a great place, and they, I mean, trash everywhere. Trash on the roads. You pull in a convenience store, it looked like somebody just tore open a trash bag and just emptied it on the parking lot. People that do not appreciate what God has blessed them with are sorry people, I'm telling you. Today, I want to be thankful for what God has done for me. How about you? Thanksgiving shouldn't be just a day that you eat turkey. Thanksgiving should be every day, amen, you're thankful that God saved this turkey. Amen. Are you thankful that God had mercy on you and saved your soul? Now, let me get on just a little bit. In Isaiah, it talked about that the Lord will keep his people in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust God. He said, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, everlasting presence of God. But we find that whenever we begin to lean on other things and we begin to forget God, we're no longer mindful of him, and we do no longer come before God with meaning, something happens in our life. Amen. We're talking about your M&Ms. God wants your meaning and your mindfulness. Amen. And the scripture says in our text today, of the rock that begat them, they became unmindful. Unmindful. And then I looked at verse 16. It says they lightly esteemed. That word esteem means value. Do you know that Judas Iscariot, he was a treasurer for the disciples. The Lord put him over the bag. And the Bible says he held the bag. But I really think the bag held him. He was the one that whenever the woman brought the box, the alabaster box, and washed Jesus' feet. She said, Judas was the one that protested. Hey, we could have took this thing and sold it and put it in the bag, in the treasury. The Lord said, hey, hush. You don't know what she was doing. Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus for 30. I mean, is it how many pieces of silver? Yeah, you know what that is equivalent to today in our world? There's different things I've heard. $44, $18. Let's just say $18. Depends what standard, whatever British standard or English standard or United States standard. Let's say $18. He sold Jesus as a slave for $18. Do you know that history tells us that back in those days, when people had money, they in the Bible time, they would take their money and put it in a sash, and they would wrap it around their waist and tie it around their waist in like a belt. Can you imagine Judas with his $18 that he just betrayed Jesus? And here's Jesus washing his feet. You know, that's the last thing that Jesus did, was wash Judas's feet. But Judas had already worked it out. He had already made the plan. Go do what you need to do. I want to just tell you, friends, even money will get a hold of a lot of people. Prestige, money, ambition, power, these things will corrupt man. Amen. And here's Judas. Amen. Oh, you know why Judas ended up the way he did? Because Satan entered into Judas. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the devil will not take over to you. Let him take you. Mm-hmm. If you let the devil in your life when you're following Jesus, it's because you let him in. I know the devil will possess people and they're not even conscious of what's going on, but I'm talking about those that will follow Jesus. Amen. When you do not follow Jesus with meaning and mindfulness, there's something that will enter your life just like Judas. $18. I hope you value Jesus more than just the price of a slave, $18. The children of Israel, after God blessed them, man, they had a walking ATM machine. They had a walking protection. God blessed them. They had central air, central heating. They had, continuous blessing of God. Everyday manna, everyday blessing. Their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't have to go back and get something else. God blessed them daily, but somewhere in time, they were not mindful of God. They lost somewhere their meaning and mindfulness of God. As a result, the Bible says the Lord turned his back on these people. We're going to talk about mindfulness today. You know, when you're mindful of God, it's going to prevent some sin. But when you begin to let the world and you start serving the flesh, something starts happening. When the flesh is indulged and God is forgotten, something begins to happen in a life. And we're all in this place. Not one of us deserves to be here. Yeah. Not one of us deserves the mercy and the goodness of God. But have you ever seen somebody who thought they were somebody? Don't ever forget where God has brought you from. And don't ever forget that you don't even deserve to be in the house of God. It was by His goodness and His mercy that has brought you to where you're at. Amen. I guarantee you, President Trump is thanking God that just that much more. Amen. And that shooter on that building, I'm telling you, he was aiming right here. And something happened and he missed. He got another person, didn't he? I'm telling you, I imagine he's thanking God today. And I look at my son Isaac, who crawled out of a truck that was completely messed up. And when I pulled up on the scene, I thank God, and I still looked at the pictures and said, God, there was no way that kid could have got out of there. There was a God in the mix. And many of you today, there's no way you could have got out of the sin and the sin's slave and the jail of sin that you was in had it not been for the goodness of God. You got where you got because God has blessed you. I look at many of you today, I remember some of you when you walked in for the first time into the church. You had problems. You didn't have things going your way. And, you know, you may not be dripping with all the wealth of this world, but God has blessed you. You have prospered. God has helped you. You have made it. You see, sometimes God just don't give you the mountain. God gives you one step of it at a time. And many of you, it's amazing. You have paid your bills and you have made it thus far. And there's been some that have burned the notes of their house. And there's been different ones that I've watched. God bless you that now you have something in life. All because of His goodness. But when we get to that place that we're no longer mindful of God, We no longer worship God with meaning. Something starts developing in our heart. You know, in times of stress, rapid change, even times of potential danger, especially it is urgent that we put on the mind of Christ. Scripture talks about that, putting on the mind of Christ. However, the more so in times of blessings and prosperity, where everything's going good, it's easy to pray whenever you're in pain. Say, God, help me. Or you need $126 to pay that electric bill. It's easy to pray before God and say, God, help me. But friend, when God starts leveling out and balancing your life and blessing your life, you still need to have that same meaning and mindfulness of God. Somebody say amen. You know, but there are those that they forget God when they start getting from God. It's crazy, but it happens. Now, never before has it been more critical for us to actually do what Romans the 12th chapter says. Be not conformed, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. We need to learn to renew our mind. Your mind must be renewed. Your mindfulness and your meaning has to be renewed constantly in a day-by-day walk with God. Now, how do we know that we're not being subject to the basic principles of the world and that we're truly receiving the love for the truth? How do we know that? You know, I'm so thankful that there's been times like yesterday, just traveling down the road, 6.5-hour drive, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord just started ministering to me. It's like the Lord was holding. I don't even remember coming through cities and towns. I was just, man, lost in the Holy Ghost, lost in the Spirit of the Lord. But the presence of God so strong. And the goodness of God just was flowing to my heart. How many of you that just in your normal day-by-day life, all of a sudden you felt the love of God, the touch of God? Who's ever had that happen? All of a sudden you go, whoa, why? That tells you that God loves you. God cares for you. That God just wants to love on you a little bit. But folks, I want to love God back. I don't want to wait for God to do the first move. I want to be that one that makes that move. In fact, he's already made the move. And he's waiting for us to make our move with meaningfulness and mindfulness of his Spirit. Somebody say amen. But we have to renew our mind. How do we know that we're not becoming subject to the base principles of this world and to the love and the seductions of this world? It's all because, amen, does God still have meaning in your life? Does God still matter to you? And do you still have that bearing in your spirit, in your conscience? Whenever you step across the line, so to speak, making a decision, or do something that you know that is displeasing to God, do you still have that moral bearing that tells you no? Even when the flesh says, but I won't, do you still have that bearing to resist the urges and the appeals of the mind of the flesh? That's why the Bible says put on the whole armor of God, doesn't it? That we can stand and withstand in the evil hour. I'm telling you, you'll never stand and withstand until you learn to put on the whole armor of God. And I believe that's a daily thing. I believe every day you need to put on the helmet of salvation. Every day you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Every day you need to buckle up your belt of truth, your shoes of the gospel of peace. You need to have a shield every day. And the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Let me just tell you, the Bible's not your fortune cookie. Come on, it's not a fortune cookie. The Word of God is our map, amen, to get to the other side. We've got to follow God. But I find that what keeps that bearing, what keeps us maintaining a consciousness that I could walk and instead of drifting away, how can I prevent myself from drifting into an impersonal, mundane, lack of meaning worship? I'll tell you, make it your intention. Every day, make it your intention that, Lord, I'm going to put you number one in my life. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, we all could quote, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. But I want to pound it in us. I want it to become part of our system. We know that there's only one God and there's no room for another God. But God must be number one in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, he must be number one. When we become number one, something starts happening. Things start happening in our life. You see, Israel, they started being number one to themselves. What we want, what I desire. And when our relational experience is replaced with mindfulness of the flesh, we start abandoning our consciousness of God, the one that fathered us, the one that has blessed us. When we no longer commune with God, there's no longer a common value for the things of God. Simply when what matters to God no longer matters to us, we start going into deep trouble. Somebody say amen. I want you to hear Romans, the first chapter, verse 18 through 32. In fact, they'll put it up here. The Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Oh, we know God's going to pour his wrath out on the world. But listen to who it says. In verse 18, the wrath of God will be poured out against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? Hold the truth. How? In righteousness. Because when they, next verse says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But listen, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they did not what? They didn't glorify him, not as God. Neither were they, somebody say it, thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart were darkened. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Hear me saying of God today. Amen. I don't want to ever lose that place in my life where God loses that meaning and God loses my mindfulness. Verse 23, and changed the glory of God of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness to the lust of their own what? Hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Read on. Who changed the truth of God into a what? And worship and serve what? More than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Going a little bit further. For this cause God gave them up into what kind of affections? Vile. Vile affections. For even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, men also, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn their lust one towards you. Oh, it never happened to my family. You quit keeping God number one, and it will. We got to teach them that. Men with men. I'm telling you, next verse. Even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? To do those things which are not convenient. Read on. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, argue over nothing. Argue over pettiness. I mean, argue. And I'm telling you, it went on and on. Yes. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, keep on going, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. I'm telling you, how quickly can one drift from a place of decency and a place of moral bearings to finally it's just a train wreck of life. How fast and how far can somebody go very quickly when you lose your mindfulness and the meaning of God in your life? I mentioned it the other day, but I want to mention again. When Eve was tempted, and the enemy started questioning her. And when the enemy questioned her, why are you doing this? Well, every one of us will get to a place in life where you're going to get to the why in your road. And the why in your road is not a why like the letter in the alphabet. The W-H-Y of your road. You're going to get to the place where you're going to be questioned. The Word of God's going to be questioned. You know, that's not really what that means. Oh, you really don't have to do that. Oh, that was in the Old Testament. Oh, you know that. Why? Why the? They're going to question the validity of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is still true, folks. The Word of God is still right. This book's still right 9 times out of 9. My opinion don't count. In fact, my opinion's like a trash can. It stinks. Your opinion don't count. But God's opinion matters. Somebody say amen. The Word of God, the validity of the Word of God is the first thing that the enemy began to propose in a question, why? Are you careful? Are you prepared? You're going to get to the place, where, some of you have already been there, where the why has been challenged. The next thing that the enemy questioned Eve was the authority in her life, the authority of God. A lot of times we don't want authority. We don't want to be subject to God. And you know, God makes you a slave. You can't do this and you can't do that. Live with God as a tightrope. Look at all the things you can't do. I just want to just remind you that live with God's not a tightrope. It's a highway of holiness. It ain't what I have to do. It's what I get to do for God. I don't know about you. Look where the Lord has brought me. Amen. You could scrutinize and contest everything what the Word of God says and the authority of God in your life. But hear me. I want God to be number one to my life. How about you? I want God to stay in that number one position. Got to be the captain of your salvation. Third thing that the enemy brought in a proposal to Eve was the purpose of God, the purpose that God had for her life. When you start feeling like you have no purpose and your purpose is not really important, oh, you know, I really don't have a part. I could just drift. I could be a nobody. You know, I'm going to tell you, God has put you here for a purpose. You have a reason to be living for God. If He can steal your destiny, He can unravel everything about your whole life. I'm talking to somebody today because, amen, every one of us will get to the place where the why is challenged. I've been to that why in my road many times. Even as a young man, I can remember that why. And as a young adult, I remember that why. As a young pastor, I remember the why in my road. And as a middle-aged pastor, I remember when I was 40-something years old, being questioned about why. When I had friends that said, man, you're old-fashioned, you're out of it. And even now, 55, you got grandkids, your kids grown up, and the why is still questioned. I want to tell you, the Word of God doesn't move one inch. Amen. The authority of God doesn't move one inch. Amen. And the purpose of God has never moved one inch in my life. God still has a reason for me to live for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. To live a separate life for Him. I am not my own, but I've been bought with a price. The problem is when you think you're your own, you forgot what He's done for you. Amen. Are you thankful God reached down and pulled you out of that horrible pit? Are you thankful that God loved you enough to turn your life around? Yeah. Now, listen what 2 Thessalonians 2 says. Verses 10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, meaning that they lost meaning and they lost that mindfulness of God. As a result, something fell, something deteriorated, and something was taken from them very quickly. I want to just remind you, your love for God matters, but it's hinged on your mindfulness of God in your daily relationship, being mindful of Him every day. Being conscious of God. Oh, would this please God? Anybody's ever been to that place in your life, that why in your road? Will this please God? Is this a compromise of the things of God? Is this a compromise of conviction that God has given me? Is it a compromise of my testimony? You need to learn to ask those things. You need to learn to be attentive to those things. Hear me. There have been so many people trying to justify themselves because they're no longer mindful of the Word of God. You know what? Friend, I want to tell you, you could justify yourself all day. Amen. But friend, I want the Holy Ghost to be alive in my life. I want the Word of God to be the bearing. Amen. I do it because of God. Praise God. I do it because of Him. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. You walk in the Spirit, you're going to stay mindful of where the Spirit leads you. You follow the Spirit, you're going to have that meaning. I'm going to please God. When you raise your hands in church, it ain't going to be. You ought to see this sometimes. You ought to be on the platform with me to watch the people. I'm not talking about you. I'm watching other people. I mean, other people, not you, but, you know, other people. And up here watching the half-hearted styles of worship. And, man, we've been raised in this. I'm five generations of this stuff. Amen. But I don't want to ever let this five generations get to the place that I don't have a first-generation experience with God. This is still a joyful thing to me. It's still a loving thing to me that God would care for my life and bless my life. Amen. I don't want to give God something half. Back right here, this is half mass. It means somebody's dead. When I lift my hands, I don't want to pat a cake with Jesus. I don't want to halfway do it. I want to lift Him up to the Lord. And I don't mean that every time you come to church, we ought to run the aisles, jump and climb the walls. No, that's not what I'm saying. Even because I've been places where they knew how to do that and still not have meaning with it. I'm telling you, I've been to churches where they jigged. They screamed, they shouted their hairs down. But about 15 minutes after church, they were back in the same old rut. Man, just because we get a beat and a sound, I'll never forget going to Sister Christian's grandpa's funeral. And I mean, 60-voice male choir, organ, I mean, but they were cut loose. They were in the aisle. They were getting after Sister Christian would tell you. But, you know, when we got back to Nacogdoches, you know what Sister Christian said? Brother Crossway? That ain't real. She said, I was raised that. She said, I was raised that. And they all do that. When they come to church, it's just like a routine to them. They could get the organ stirring up. But when they walk back out of the church house, even they're back in their fornication and adultery, and just a little bit after the funeral where they danced, and they in the honor of supposedly God Almighty, they were back drinking just a few minutes ago and cussing. Amen. There was no change in their life. But when you have a relationship with God where you're mindful and God has meaning in your life, it's going to be more than doing a strut. It's going to be saying, God, I want to honor you from deep within. I want to give you my full allegiance. I need somebody to say amen today. Today, I know I'm hitting the right direction. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25 says. It starts when you no longer give God your appetite. Y'all know I've taught this church through the years, but I'm going to do it again. AAA insurance is great when on the road of life. Thank God for it. They'll come and tow your vehicle. They'll give you somebody to unlock your car. They'll even bring you some gasoline when you run out of gas on the side of the road. But you better have AAA in your life, in your spiritual relationship with God, to help you down the road of life. God wants your three A's. He wants your appetite. I want to hunger and thirst after God. I remember my old pastor as a kid used to say it often. God feeds according to your appetite. My Lord God, I want an appetite for you, Lord Jesus. I want a hunger and thirst every time, every day of my life. When I come to the house of God especially, let me have an ear to hear. Let me be ready. And I've ate some good food this week. And I fellowship with some great men of God. But friend, God has better things than fried catfish for us. God has fellowship and in His Word. Amen. I want an appetite for the Spirit of God. How many are hungry deep in your soul for the things of God in your life? Don't ever lose your appetite. You need to grow your appetite in God. Grow your appetite for the things of God. The next A, that after appetite, is your attention. You know, a child's attention span is real small. In children's ministry, they taught me, when we do a children's crusade, you can't be long with them. You're going to lose them very quickly. Every 5 to 8 minutes, that child's mind is already drifting. And I'm afraid that in church, some of us, our 5 to 8 minutes is still there. We're drifting if we're not entertained. That's the reason why churches today are becoming auditoriums and platforms are becoming, it's becoming a stage. We don't need blacking out sanctuary. We don't need no lights up here to entertain you, to keep your attention. We ought to have a spiritual appetite and an attention for the things of God. I don't need bar stools up here. We don't need a break dancer. We don't need, hey, you know where I'm standing right now? This used to be the dance floor. They had to have people come in and entertain. Amen. And they had to have this kind of entertainment. Hey, friend, I want to entertain the Holy Ghost. I don't want to entertain my stinking flesh. Somebody say amen. My appetite, my attention, and the next thing is my availability. You see, we used to have call waiting. You hear the phone or busy signal. When you used to call, for you younger than 30 years old, when I was a kid, we used to call somebody's house. And Carmen, when I would call somebody, I'd call my mama. If she was on the phone, they went, burp, 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 burp. Have you ever heard a busy signal? You've heard one, Jessica? But, I mean, Carmen's never heard a busy signal. Anybody else never heard a busy signal on the phone? What about you, Wesley? Brother Colton never heard a busy signal where you call somebody's house and they were on the phone and you got a busy signal? I wonder how many busy signals God gets when He tries to call you. I want to be open to God. I don't want God to have call waiting. I don't want God to get a recorded. This is Brent Crosswhite. I'm sorry, I'm too busy right now. God, I'll call you back when I have a better time. No, I want God always to have supreme to speak to my heart. Amen. It's kind of like John F. Kennedy. They said that one day the door opened to his office and little John come walking in. And Secret Service said, President, do we need escort? He said, no, he's my son. I want to be able to come before the throne of God at any time. And I want God to come before my heart at any time. Praise God. I want you to remember something too. I want you to remember this, and I want you to keep this. Many people intend to go to heaven. But if you're not mindful, and if we're not meaningful, we'll never get there. You know, hell's going to be full of good people. I'm going to say it again because we need to knock it between the eyes. Hell will be full of good people. You don't get good to get God to get good. I need God in my life. Not everybody's going to heaven. It's a straight and narrow way with a no U-turn in it. Amen. You need to have a no-turnaround mindset conviction inside of you. It needs to be concrete. The ark had one door in and no doors out. Amen. This ought to be a made-up mind thing. Amen. God, I'm not turning around. You're number one. I'm going to make it. Amen. You know that your flesh, the mind of the flesh, is a perpetual enemy of God. The mind of the flesh is a perpetual enemy of God. And if it's God's enemy, it's your enemy. I'm going to say it one more time because I feel like I want to emphasize. The mind of the flesh is God's perpetual enemy. This is what Romans says in Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please who? Saints of God? I have to have my mind in Christ. I've got to have my meaning in God. And again, the Holy Ghost is not a diploma. It's a birth certificate. Just because you receive the Holy Ghost doesn't give you the right to quit walking with God. Many people think, "Woo, I got the Holy Ghost, and that's just enough." No, you got the Holy Ghost. It's time to run the race, folks. Amen. There's power in the Holy Ghost to keep you, to bless you, but you got to activate it. Having a recipe don't make the gumbo, folks. I've given my recipe for gumbo out, and somebody called me and said, "Man, my gumbo just don't taste like yours." Last night I had a guy ask me, how much bell pepper you put in your gumbo? And I told him, "I don't put it." "How much celery you put in your gumbo?" "I don't put it." He said, "I know you gave me your recipe one time." He said, "But I lost it." And I want to just tell you, you may have the recipe, you may have a Bible, but if you don't apply it, every measure of it, you're not going to get the same thing that God intends. I want to follow it line up on line, T, all the T's. I want to be crossing the dots, dotted, I's dotted. Amen. I want the things of God to be what of matter to my life. I want to please my Savior. How about you? I want to make it with Him. Amen. I want Him one day to look at me, even though, I mean, we're all flaws, imperfections. We all say things sometimes we've got to retract. I hope we do. I hope we have to retract them and get them back and repent of them. And there's meanness that has come about. We've had moods, don't we? You ever had a mood? Yeah, we go through moods and we go through seasons. But I don't want to ever get too big that I'm not mindful of the things of God and know how to humble myself before God. But I know how to surrender my soul to the Lord Jesus. Hey, this matters eternally. Eternity. You could get out of jail, but you will not get out of hell. Somebody say amen. But friend, it's going to be worth every mile that you make for the Master. When He has your M&Ms, your meaning, and your mindfulness. I love it when the Lord starts dealing with me about me. You know, it's easy for me. It's kind of like somebody, and I don't go to sports events, but it's easy for somebody to fuss and cuss and ramp and rage that are in the grandstands telling somebody how to run or how to do, or how to play the game. But it's different when you're on the field. We could call the shots out of everybody's life. I think they should. They ought to. Don't you just love those philosophers that always stand on the sideline and tell you how to live? Don't you love those people that look over your shoulder and say, "If I was you, or you should"? Don't you just love those finger-pointing people that point at you and say, "You know, if I was you, I would." Folks, I want God's way. I want the Lord to have perfect liberty at any time. Amen. To thump the strings of my heart and said, "You need to get in tune, boy." Amen. I want God to have that liberty and that authority. Remember Eve. Amen. She was tempted with God's word, God's authority, and God's purpose in her life. And if the enemy could get a hold of that in your life, get to that why. When you get to that why in your road, do you have an armor? Do you have a shield? Do you have a sword? Do you have something to stand against the wiles of the enemy? Do you have something that matters and a meaning in your heart? with the things of God. Israel, after God did all that, after God gave miracle upon miracle and sign upon sign, man, they enjoyed, man, they had manna sandwiches. They had manna this and that. And clothes, I mean, never wore out. They didn't have to go to Zadie B's. They didn't have to go to shoe store. They didn't have to go to all these places. God provided for them. He daily loaded them with benefits. You know what happened? They grew fat and they started complaining, grumping, and gossiping, backbiting. They became wicked. In spite of all the blessings, they bit the hand of the one that blessed them because they lost their meaning and their mindfulness of Jesus or God in their life. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is God today in my life. Are you thankful for the glory of the Lord today? I want to ever commune with God. Amen. I would that you would lift your hands and just get heart to heart with the Master with me right now. Amen. Would you just close your eyes and just blot out everybody right now around you. Amen. And I want you to give the love to the Lord today. Amen. That only you can give. I could pray for you, but I can't do yours. Amen. Would you just give that love to the Lord? I love you and I praise you today, Jesus. You matter to me and you mean something to my heart today, to my soul. Lord, thank you for loving and caring for me, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me, God, in the simple things, God. You have helped us. You have blessed us. Lord, we're comfortable. You have blessed us with comfort and peace and joy. God, you're strengthening our lives, God. All the little things that we gripe about, God, are little things to you, but you have blessed us with great things. You filled us with your Spirit. You washed us in your blood. You've given us your name. You bless us every day continually, Lord. I just want my life to honor you, Lord. I want my life to bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Let me desire you above everything else. Let my relationship, Lord, grow in you, Lord. Let my life be, God, truly to you. Not a touch and go, but, Lord, a wholehearted relationship. Amen. Stand with me in this building today. And again, I got to say this. You know, if I go to hell, the devil won't send me there. God won't send me there. This stinking flesh will. If I go to hell, you go to hell. We can't blame on the devil. It'll be the flesh because we've been a partaker of the truth of God and the love of God. So, the biggest enemy of God is a mind after the flesh. But the greatest thing that God loves is somebody that has the mind of Him, the mind of Christ. Amen. I feel Jesus right now. I feel the love of the Lord. You know, the Lord's wanting to hold us close right now. I want you to let the Lord just touch you right now. Just close your eyes again. Instead of you praying, I want you to just close your eyes and just receive today. Can you receive what God's trying to give over? Amen. Somebody really needs it. Feel the touch of God. Just put your mind on Him. Just think on Him for a moment. Amen. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Just think what He's done for you. Just look in your rearview mirror. Look in your rearview mirror and see what God is, where He's brought you from, what He's done for you. Just think about it. I can't help but feel the presence of the Lord when I think on Him. He's here. He's here today. He's here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. I want to please you today, Lord, above everything else, because you matter. Amen. Praise God. Does anybody need prayer today? Somebody going through something that you need your church family right now to pray with you. Somebody just says, Pastor, church family, man, I've been going through it. I need some help. There's somebody today that just honest enough and earnest enough to say, would y'all pray for me? I'm going through something. I want you to just come stand up here. You know what the church is for? Instead of scrutinizing, I wonder what Brother Craig's doing up here. I wonder what Brother Ford's up here for. No, instead of trying to investigate and instigate, we come as an intensive care unit just to pray and believe the Lord. Amen. Would you pray for Brother Sammy right now? Lift your hands. We'll start with him.
All my
in the name
heart,
of Jesus. With everything God today.
With all my mind.
Pray with us today.
With all my soul. With all my strength.
Would you lift your hands and trust the Lord with us?
Lord. rescued me from sin and shame. You're my everything. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love you, Lord. You rescued me from sin and shame. You're my everything. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love you, Lord. You rescued me from sin and shame. You're my everything. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love you, Lord. You rescued me from sin and shame. You're my everything. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love you, Lord. You rescued me from sin and shame. You're my everything. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love you, Lord. You rescued me from sin and shame. You're my everything. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love you, Lord. You rescued me from sin and shame. You're my everything. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love you, Lord. You rescued me from sin and shame. You're my everything.
To the Lord on time, God don't miss. God knows how to hit exactly the right part of the heart when you let Him. God has a tune for your whole heart. You may be out of tune and feel so out. It was an old guitar sitting in a closet of a house. It was a young musician that traveled, and he seen a garage sale, and he pulled in, and he looked at different things for sale, and he asked the lady, he said, "Do you have any musical instruments?" She said, "Oh, I have an old guitar." She said, "It's back in the closet." She said, "It was my husband's." She said, "He used to play." And she said, he got arthritis so bad, she said, and I can't remember everything. She said, "But I'll go get it for you." She went to the dusty closet and pulled that case and brought that guitar to him. When she opened it up, She said, young man, she said, look at it. She said, my husband used to play, and she said he played all kind of folk music and stuff, and boy was amazed. I don't know guitars very much, but I understand it was a very valuable guitar. And he took it and he strummed it, and it was out of tune, so he started tuning and he started playing it. And she said, do you know Red River Valley, that old song? And the boy said, yeah, my mom told me how to play that when I was a kid. That's one of my first songs. And he started playing that. And the lady started crying. She said, my husband used to play that for me because that was a song we liked to hear when I was a kid. And he played and played. And she said, you know what? I'm going to give you that guitar. It only took a little tuning and a little work, and this became a valuable piece. That musician took that with him wherever he went and told that story. I want to tell you, I'm glad I have a story to tell about Jesus Christ. Amen. He brought me. He tuned me. Amen. I have value now. I'm not just forgotten in a closet somewhere, but he's put me on a solid rock to stay, establish my goings. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Would you give the Lord your hand of praise today, your hand of worship, your hand of applause today for what he's done for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I look across this building today at those that thought they were forgotten about. Brother, you mentioned that today, brother, right before service. I'm glad that God knew where you was at. Amen. I'm glad God knew where you was at, Brother Coon. Brother Jeff, I kind of know your history. Amen. I kind of know your history. But I'm glad that when old Grandpa Tubby kept on putting it in you, he put a certain tune in your life. And God said, I got something for him. Amen. Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God has a purpose for you. Watch your M&Ms, your meaning, and your mindfulness of God. Amen. And live for the Lord. God bless you today in Jesus' name. Remember our service tonight. Our missionary is going to be with us. You know what I felt like? I just in the last few moments, I just felt the Lord give somebody that feeling they need to feel a victory. Amen. Go home. Take it with you. Take it with you in your journey of life. Let the anointing of God work in you. Apply it. Just don't have the recipe book. Amen. Get a hold of the God of the book. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. Greet our guests today. Make sure before you go, greet at least five people. You're dismissed. Let's all go to heaven.